do desire that we mix faith with that which we believe. And it is very simple. It is simply believing. And it is on that basis of believing that you work mightily on our behalf. Help us, Father, not to get our minds, our logic in the way, but to know that you want us to hear and you want us to live and walk this overcoming life that you have set for each one of us. Nothing takes you by surprise. We have that assurance that you have gone before and prepared the way. And Lord, we are simply passing through whatever this world is trying to do or throwing at us or trying to trip us up or deceive us. Everything, including the enemy and every demon, is passing away and will pass away. But what you are giving us and have given us is eternal life and is building us for the future. For we indeed, all of us, have the greatest future that can ever be bestowed upon mankind. And so, Lord, help us not to forget these things as we hear your word now, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus' name. Well, I'm simply calling this teaching today because we're basing it from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. And for those of you taking a title, we're calling it simply, "Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And the Apostle Paul gives something here of that in 1 Corinthians 10. And I'm just looking at verse 31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." And this is in the context of giving God all the glory. Whatever we do, in word or deed or whatever it is, don't make it religious. Don't cause your brother or sister to stumble. You are free in Christ, yet we don't use that freedom in which to cause others to stumble. Because it's not a problem. If you truly know you are free in Christ, then you are not trying to prove anything. Because the Holy Spirit will do all and more in and through us. He doesn't need our help. And that's basically what the Apostle Paul is saying there. However, we're calling this morning, "Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Now, we need to be, in a sense, on our guard against the sort of ordinary, mundane things of life. And these everyday, ordinary, mundane things of life are, if you didn't but know, are ordained of God. Mm-hmm. Nothing you do, whatever it is, takes God by surprise. Your whole life is completely, utterly mapped. And in glory, we will see why God has done that, if we're not already seeing it now. The very fact that our lives are mapped, preserved, is all about God's hand in keeping us, sustaining us in this life. And whatever you are going through, there is always, as we know, a higher purpose, a bigger picture. Our problems that we have so often is with the flesh. But God has even provided for that. That is the good news of the gospel. Because I think if anything we battle with, it is with the flesh. It is that fight that goes on. And every day we are in that fight, where we are going to decide whether we yield to the Spirit or we are going to have our own way or do my own thing. And one of the things, and we were talking a little bit about this on the way up in the car, we are becoming aware, or at least we should be, that the inner man within us, the new birth, the new creation, we sort of refer to this area because maybe spiritually speaking in man, that's where it is. But it's not something you can touch or whatever it is. We talk about the heart being changed. But yet our hearts naturally are functioning and it's a muscle that's sending blood around the body. So these are spiritual terms that we talk about. But what is happening, and this was confirmed to me through Brother Bob, we are becoming aware of a power, something that is sustaining, keeping, driving, leading us, taking us forward, and it's inside. The mind can sometimes be raging, the enemy is poking away, doing whatever it is, but there is a power that is working, that's sustaining, driving us, taking us forward, holding us, and that is, of course, the fullness of God. And I think what is happening, and I know this is happening with me, what I think is happening is we are no longer taking our minds, and I'm putting this in the most simplistic terms I can, we're no longer taking our minds and the hindrances to our minds and the attacks of our minds so seriously. The enemy actually is giving himself away. We have been interfered with, we've been hampered in that area for so many years that we're actually sick of it. Enough. And God has a way of bringing us to the end of ourselves, and praise God he does. And it all simply means is, it's that letting go. It's not that fighting, resisting anymore. And we're doing exactly the same with these fiery darts, these suggestions, these things that the enemy tries to work upon our minds. We are at last breaking through that we know the reality of which it speaks of in Corinthians, of having the mind of Christ. His mind taking over my mind, if you like, fundamentally. And I think that is happening to us, and I really do praise and thank the Lord, because this is a very big, major breakthrough. Yes. In fact, it is the breakthrough, because man fell precisely through the attacks that we get that Satan still does. We tend to think, oh, well, of course, Satan fell, which of course he did. So, you know, the enemy did what he did. He's now become the god of this world, which is what he wanted. So, you know, it's all done. But Satan doesn't stop there. He still continues to do it. Now he's got that hold, he still continues to do what he tried to do with Adam and Eve. It's still the same principle. It's still the same attack. However, we're now found in the second Adam, in Christ, who's made us a new creation. And so that is a completely different sphere. It's something completely different. Because although we are made right, we are declared right, we are righteous before God, God is equipping us in this life to be able to overcome all things. And I am convinced we can only overcome all things as we overcome in the mind. And we no longer believe those lies, those attacks, and what he does. When I say believe, I mean that we are brought to the end of ourselves where I don't want to go down that road anymore. I don't want to think those thoughts anymore because they make me so miserable. They bring me out of God's presence, out of his love, out of that touch. It just ain't worth it. And what do we call it? God working in you both to will do for his good pleasure. He's doing in every one of us. I can't believe he's just doing it with me. But every one of us. And there is a reason for that. There's a reason. And he does this so often through the ordinary, mundane things of life. This is the remarkable thing, how he does it. And there's a reason for that, because it's the everyday living, the everyday mundane things of life, of which we face every day, that we actually have to overcome. And so there are the very things that he's doing in which to deliver us. But in God's eyes, the ordinary, mundane, simple things of life are at times the most profound in God's eyes. That's why he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You see, we have to learn how God sees a thing, and it is so completely, utterly different to how we see it. You see, there are times that we refuse, if you like, to be ordinary, to be mundane. It's sometimes offensive, because we wish to impress, don't we? That we're not sort of somehow shallow. That there's something far more about me, you know. I know a lot more than what you think I know, and so forth. You know, we all do it. Now, we don't, of course, say it that way. But it comes out in our attitudes. It can come out in our conversation or whatever it is. But you see, that doesn't impress God. We may try and impress one another or people at work or whatever it is, but that doesn't impress God. You see, he sees differently. And of course, it's none other than the old pride, isn't it? Which at times we all battle with. But you see, we can have a contempt in our hearts because they are somehow, it's shallow, simple. And the Bible warns against this. He warns against this pride. And we have to remember one thing. Jesus was a baby. And we forget that. No, oh, don't talk to me about that. That's shallow. That, you know, we all grow up. I don't want to. I'm not worried about God being a baby. Well, God is. That's how he started. Simple, dependent on his parents. So we have to take on board the shallow, the mundane, the everyday things that we do. And of course, the world out there battles with all of that. You say to me, how do you know they battle with all of that? Well, the holiday industry wouldn't be so popular if they didn't battle with that. Let's have a break. Let's get away from the mundane. Let's go and have a break. Let's have a holiday, you know, and just get away with it. I'm sick of it, you know. And we all do it. I've done it. Sometimes you find yourself going around that road, that track again. You think, I am sick of this. I really am. But, you know, it is the mundane, it is the shallow that actually so often is the profound in God's eyes. And what I love about this, it makes everything level at the foot of the cross. It makes every one of us so vitally important, loved, wanted in the house of God and in God's family. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. We're all so different.
And this is why we minister to one another. We give time for one another. We don't dismiss one another, oh, because he's a bit shallow. Or she doesn't say much. She's too quiet or whatever it is. We do need to be on our guard with this. Because God doesn't see it like that. He sees it quite differently. I'll open this a bit more as to what I'm meaning in this. But we can have this contempt in our hearts. And the Lord really warns against this. Now, to be ordinary or shallow is not a sign of being in unbelief or sinful or not very Christian or spiritual. Not at all. And I'll tell you why. You take a great ocean. We don't know part of the ocean, how deep it is, but an ocean also has a shore.
Shallow.
In its shallow waters. See? We get it so wrong, don't we, at times. And even the shallow, the mundane things, as like eating, drinking, walking, talking, all of it is ordained of God. Today, this meeting, what we're doing this very second, this very moment, is ordained of God. Our sharing later on, the food that God blesses us with, is all ordained of God. Nothing takes God by surprise. Every person you will look at next week, every person you speak to, whatever you encounter will be ordained of God, and probably 9 times out of 10 it's going to be quite mundane, quite shallow. You may see the same person when you go to work every day sitting opposite you on the train or wherever it would be, you know, and sometimes you think to yourself, is this walking a Christian walk? Is this what being saved is all about? You know, I can have that in the world. Well, God uses the things of the world. That's the whole point. He uses everything for his glory. And thank God that he does. It's all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, his grace, and so on. I thank God for the failures sometimes in my life, how God has turned it around for his glory or to preserve and keep me or whatever it is, you see. So we need to be very careful with our attitudes toward the shallow, the mundane. We want that big, deep ocean. Oh, it's wonderful. But that ocean has a seashore. And those waters become very, very shallow. You see. And that is the point. That is the point. And it is all ordained of God. You see, even our Lord did all these things. He knew about all of this. For example, in Matthew 10 and verse 24, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. That is why he's teaching us to serve. To serve one another, to put ourselves, our wants, our needs last. That's the principle. Now, all of us, naturally, in the flesh, don't do that sort of thing. It doesn't naturally come to us. We're not educated that way. Certainly not nowadays, anyway. So, it takes a work of grace. And for us to learn to serve one another, we have got to overcome, we have got to accept that there is the shallow, there is the mundane, there is the everyday things, but in God's sight, they are so often profound. I take the story of the widow's mite. All she had was just a little money, but what she had, she gave all to the Lord. Now, to many, that is shallow that is mundane. But that God accepted that because she gave with the right heart and motive. She gave in faith. We miss this so often. When you have nothing, you have everything. When you have nothing, you actually are in the best position to walk by faith. And we so often miss it because we allow the fiery darts of the enemy. Oh yes, but if you do that, well, you know what's going to happen. You know, you've got to pay that bill at the end of the month. And so and all the logic starts working, all the anxiety and everything, you know. I know, we've all gone through it and and maybe still will go through it until we eventually get it. God has put within each one of us rivers of living water that never run dry.
Praise the Lord.
It is us who let them run dry. By our pride, by our indifference, by our unbelief, by looking down on the shallow, the ordinary, the everyday, mundane things of life, we hinder that water from flowing. And yes, we are to pray one for another. Yes, we are to pray if a brother or sister is going through a financial situation. But the whole point of it is that when you find yourselves in that situation, or you find yourself where there's no money and you still got to face the end of the month, you are at the greatest point in your life, if you did but know it, to actually give.
Praise God.
And you don't have to look for it. If you walk humbly before God, you will see a myriad of ways that you can give. And many times that giving is in the shallow, mundane, everyday things of life. You have given to someone whom you have just looked at and smiled and just shown kindness. By just doing that, you have given something to that person that probably can give them some hope. Or have just received terrible bad news that day, or whatever it is. Our capabilities of giving out are incredible, what God has placed in and through each one of us. But we are so often selfish and inward looking. And it is my needs first. We have to put the body of Christ first, before our needs, before our family, before anything else. It is his body, the church, you, me, that we put first for its building. As we are never going to see this church built how God wants it. Not only to be built, but to stand the storms in the last days. And don't use this excuse, oh well, we're going to be all right because we're going up in the rapture. We are. But don't make that as an excuse. Mm. That's the whole point, you see.
Amen.
And we're put off because it's those mundane, everyday things. And I know they're real. Because those mundane, everyday things, those shallow things, you encounter them every day. And I know what it's like when you go to work. It's like being on a treadmill. You see the same old thing, the same old people, the same work, you know, and everything. But in God's eyes, that is profound. And what he's doing with us, he's working for us to get a different attitude. As I so often say, our defeat, our victory is right in the mind. It's my attitudes. And do you know, sometimes I get so angry with myself when it has been an attitude, and that's all it is, that blew everything out of proportion. And how the devil used it. And how, you know, he just takes a thing and he works that fear and everything is blown out of proportion. The world lives by that principle. And they plough billions into systems to try and appease, to try and get it to work or to bring peace. And all it is because man has blown it out of proportion. We see the world living like that. That's what God is delivering us from. I can guarantee, brothers and sisters, over the last month, in your household, some of the arguments you had, maybe between wife and husband, whatever it is, was so trivial, and yet the enemy blew it out of proportion.
Yeah.
Am I right? Your head's nodding. Absolutely. I know, because I go through it. And I think, no. It is not worth it. The energy, the stress, the time of praying, battling, when we could be praying things that really pertain to the kingdom. We waste a lot of time in praying wrong things that we shouldn't be doing now. We're growing up, maturing. I heard myself praying only the other day and I said, Lord, I'm stopping. You're sick of hearing this. It's about time I grew up and started praying those things that are on your heart and whatever. And I stopped the prayer right there. And God didn't strike me down dead. Good, you're hearing. Leave it. It'll work out. I'm in control. We get so wrapped up in the everyday mundane things. As I said, that ocean, we don't know some of the depths of the ocean, but those waters are very shallow on the seashore, and yet we know the depth that is involved with it. God will lead, God will guide, He's in complete and utter control. That's why we're calling this teaching today, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And that's what it's about. And that's why you see the mundane tasks, things of God, are ordained of Him. And when we see this, and we have to be on our guard. We have to be on our guard to pride that can rise up. Because otherwise we're never going to see the greater depth that is in these mundane things. Just like the great depth there is in the oceans. All we're ever seeing is just the seashore. And what? And of course, with the seashore, have you seen the waves that come in and go out? Come in and go out. Come in, go out. I wonder how many times they've done that through life. We've lost count. But that's all they do. They go in and they come out. They go in, come out. And now don't believe for a tsunami, because that's quite a different thing. So don't get carried away. But that's all they do. But that is a sign of something that has great depth. This profound. This deep. It is a sign we don't really know what lies down there. Although, of course, they're sending down now these robots and whatever, and we are beginning to see things, a life that is under the oceans that we never knew existed. But I'll tell you something, they'll only still be able to go so far.
That's right.
There'll still be a lot more down there that man won't know everything, and that is the point, you see. That is the whole point. So there's a greater depth to what God is saying, you see. We are in fact kept safe by the mundane and the shallow. It actually is a safety net. It's actually preserving, keeping each of us. We cannot take those depths very often. The same as in our trials. You see, our trials bring us to a point where we cry out, Lord, I'm going under. I can't take much more. Why are you doing that? Why is that coming out? Because you've been taken out of the shallow, the mundane, everyday things. And for a season, he's allowed you to see the depth of that ocean. Just how deep it goes. How deep God's ways are. Past finding out. That is why when we look at the stars, the sky and everything, we don't know how far it goes. We haven't a clue. There's no beginning, there's no end with God. It's profound. Sometimes, you know, I said, Lord, I feel I'm breaking up. I'm you're consuming me with your power, your depth. How vast, how big. I feel I'm consumed. I'm like an ant in your presence. You have to go through those deep, deep trials to start to learn some of these things of God that sometimes can be so deep you find it difficult to put words to. So thank God for the everyday, mundane, shallow things, because so often they are our preservation. They are where God is working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. Thank the Lord for it. I hope after this teaching we're all going to have a different view about some things and what sometimes we just shun at and think, oh no, not again. And we all do it. We all do it. I'm sure the Lord was tempted with that. But whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Whether you pour out that morning cup of tea, that's for the glory of God. When you open your eyes and you have that stretch before you get out of bed, it's for the glory of God. Whatever you do is for the glory of God. You are his creation, fearfully, wonderfully made in his image. That's why nothing takes God by surprise, you see. That's why we're kept by this mundane and shallow environment. See, what about a mother with her family? A mother, I use this because this points out what I'm trying to say. Sadly, some of this has gone now in life. But a mother, fundamentally, is a keeper of the house. And a keeper of the house is, at times, a very mundane, everyday, 24/7 job. At least the man can go out and work, you know. But I'm here, you know, in the house, looking after everything. And, of course, sadly, this is why women are rebelling against that, because they are fed up with that shallow, mundane life. And why should it just be left for me? After all, it does take two to tango, and indeed it does in marriage. And indeed, the Bible is very strong on the man, the husband, who should be the head, who provides. And the address is given to the husband: husband, love your wives. That's how he's presented it, you see. So that speaks an awful lot. And the reason that things are going so wrong in family life is because husbands are not taking that responsibility. Some husbands don't know how to take that responsibility, because that we come out of an environment where divorce, 1 in 3, marriages are breaking up, children affected, and so on. That's why we've seen over since the war and after the war, if there's anything that you look at, one of the main attacks of the powers of darkness has been over family life. And destroying the family life. Why is he doing that? Why has he done that? Why has he attacked the family life, the family unit? I'll tell you why. Because he doesn't want the body of Christ being restored back with the divine headship of Christ, God himself, over it. He's not stupid. Because that is how we learn. because God has ordained the family life. And so we find now that the woman is the one who runs the family, controls the family. We find that the roles have changed. Not all, because there is a remnant. And those who love the Lord and are born again, you're going to find that God is going to start to work in your family. And one of the things he's going to start to do, he's going to start to work on divine order. And that is what he will do. And wives, you must not resist your husbands, but get right behind them for that restoration to work. Because if you love your family, you love your children, you love your home, you're going to do it what God shows you to do. And that is, he works through a divine order. It ain't going to be worked through you. It is going to be worked through the husband. And you can fight against that as much as you want, but that is the divine order God has worked. You start to get behind your husband, and you say, oh yes, but you don't know him. You don't know what he's like. You don't this and whatever it is. Well, all you're exposing is the shallow, the mundane, which is in you, which is in me. Just do what God requires. Get behind your husband. Meaning, you get in prayer first. Start to believe, Father, I want to submit because divine headship is going to come through my hubby, whom I'm one with. And so I yield to that. Whatever's gone on, whatever the past is, or whatever he was like, if you're a new creation, the blood of Jesus deals with it and casts it away as far as the east is to the west. Stop living in history. It does you no good. It holds you in depression. There are demons that hold your mind in that. Live for today, now, in God's presence, and just yield to what he's requiring and asking, and you will begin to see God's divine presence flowing. You will begin to see a change with your family. You'll start to see your son, your daughter, coming through to Christ. You will start to see things changing. You will start to see an order that is after God's order, not an order that man tries to create. We are creating a very ordered society, and it's absolute bondage. And it's full of control, bureaucracy, you name it. Horrible. But there is an order that God does work. And we will work through the family. And you will see these changes. You will see changes in your life, your health, your thinking. You will see changes in finances, those things that you need. A balance will come. But all the while you fight against that, because you use what the world out there, what feminism speaks about. Feminism has never helped women and never will. It is seeing a problem, but instead of yielding over to God, it's fighting it in itself, in the way that it is, doing exactly what the enemy wants. And with the husband, love your wife, your family. You love them to the extent that you love your own flesh, your own body. In other words, that means you are a sacrifice to your family. And it's quite simple. And it starts by simply yielding. Forgive me, Lord. I have tried it in myself. I've tried to do it. I want it this way. I want it that way. Whatever it is. I just yield over. And let the Holy Spirit work. And that applies in everything. It applies in everything. Because we then take it over to the body. We take it over. Can I speak to this assembly? This is what he's doing with us. He's getting us to yield under the headship of Christ, who is over us. And as we yield to him, so we then yield to the ministries, we yield to each other. We are not trying to outdo one another. We're not trying to be clever with one another, because we have accepted the everyday, mundane, shallow things of life, which in God's sight are so profound. And we are brought into the presence of God, in which he can touch us and change us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I simply have the privilege of being able to be used as simply a vessel, Lord willing, of which he can speak and work and touch our lives, because he does it through man. That's how he's chosen to work. He has given man the keys. The same as he's given the keys to the kingdom of God, to the church, they are keys that are given to us to be co-workers with God, Almighty God, to work with him. Not against him, but with him. So that everything flows naturally. Flows in one direction. There's no schism. There's no discord or whatever it is that the Bible speaks about. Because those things that go on, they're devilish, demonic. They try to destroy the work, the building of the body of Christ. And we all simply yield to it. Submit to it. You say, well, I'm not submitting something I don't know. Well, sometimes you have to submit, then the knowing comes afterwards. If you want to know before you submit, that is nothing but pride. And that certainly isn't walking by faith. So often, our steps of faith are a step out into the unknown. And then when you step, praise God, he's beginning to show. Didn't come before, and he's not. Otherwise, it's not faith. Yet we still battle with that one, don't we? You see? But praise God, he's patient, he's loving, he's everything other than we're not, you see? But the wife, she's with the family. She keeps house, she cleans, shopping, washing, even prayer life, reading the word and everything. All of this can be mundane. Sometimes you think, oh, I better have time with the Lord and better read my three chapters and better have a prayer and think, oh, you know, praise the Lord, I've had my hour. Well, what's the point? I know it can seem like that. We go on about, you know, seek God in prayer, keeping the word and everything. That's mundane. Yes, it's shallow, but it is the most profound thing. It's what preserves and so often keeps you. You can't be in that deep ocean all the time. You can't. Yes, they're deep water sometimes, but you can only take so much. Even the power of the Spirit on your life, the anointing, you can only take it so much. We know that by Daniel, through his prayer and fasting. He was he got no strength at the end of it. And we go through that spiritually. Sometimes, you know, we go through things and just think, I'm exhausted. With all due respect, but the trial that I've gone through, you know, I felt as I've been utterly, completely battered. That's the only word I could use. And at the end of it, you know, and after the mediation, I came home. I needed nearly a week just to chill out. I didn't realise how weak I was at the end of it. Not only physically, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, everything. But I knew what to do. And I thought, no, you stop. You stop. Get back to the shallow, the mundane, the everyday things. They're the profound things of God. That is where my battery, spiritually speaking, will be recharged. You have got to do that, brothers and sisters. And only you, before the Lord, can know that. You cannot keep burning on two cylinders all the time. We have to have times to withdraw. We have to have times to wait on God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. We are all different. So because somebody seems to be outward going and energetic and whatever it is, that doesn't mean to say that you have to be like that. Or vice versa. We know the principle when one's up, another one can be down. And when that person's down, the other one's up. I see that principle running not only in your life or the partner you have, but I see it in the body of Christ. Sometimes one is up, another time somebody's down or whatever it is, but we know what to do. We get in prayer, we get intercession, and so on. It's the way it is. It's the everyday mundane things of life that appear to be so shallow. But you see, if you wish to go deep with God, and there's nothing wrong in going deep with God, I'm all for going deep. That's why it's called the deeper life. Because that doorway, you can go into a deep walk with God as far as you want. However, first, show it to God. Because you need to see whether he's impressed with your depth that you think you've got. And I'll leave that one with you, because only you know that answer if you walk humbly before God. Well, praise God, you know, I've had 4 or 5 years in theology. You know, I've sat under the Word and Hebrew and the Greek and everything and so on. You know, we've sort of really do feel we've really been doing our bit and so forth. Well, you take it before God and see what he thinks. I'll tell you what he'll turn around and say. He'll say, you couldn't have done that unless it had been for my grace and mercy. And that levels it all up. So whatever you did, whatever achievements you had, no matter how long you were in theology or whatever it would be, God enabled it. He found you. You didn't find him. You see? No, we have to be on our guard with these things. You see, the problem is we are so consumed with ourselves. We're consumed with our reputation. How I come over. How I look. What do they think of me at work? What do the family say? We're living to this image which God is trying to destroy, because he wants the image of his son. Not you. Not what you think you're good at, or your attributes, or your qualities. We all like to flaunt our qualities, but God ain't impressed. God isn't impressed with Hollywood. God isn't impressed with all those things that the world lusts for and looks to. The stars, the gods, you know? We're delivered from all of that. I know that story, I gave it once, but I was so touched by this. A group of people were walking, and then somebody said, what's that out in the road? And they went out into the road, and there was this dead dog. And somebody said, oh, it's awful. Look at this dog, you know, dreadful. But the other person looked and said, yes, but did you see the teeth of that dog? They were perfect. See? We don't look at things. We all look differently. I know that may sound strange, but that person saw something different, you see? And God will let us see things differently if we want to, if we want it. And this is going to extend the love of God reaching out to the unlovable, to the rejected, to the despised, to all of those, because they're the ones that Jesus came for. The world rejects. And what the world rejects, they're often the ones that are damaged. They're often the ones that have a lot of baggage. But you see, all that baggage that they have, they're able to deposit that, not on you, but on Jesus himself. And there's the difference, you see. We need to be so sensitive toward this. We need to be so sensitive when maybe a brother or sister has gone out of their way to show hospitality or just to help in whatever way. Sometimes we can be so dismissive. of what has cost time or effort to that brother or sister, and you've just simply thrown it back in their face. We need to be so sensitive. We need to be sensitive one to eat to another. Not in a bondage way, not what I'm talking about, but it's the way that the Holy Spirit will make you sensitive. He will open your eyes. He will make you sensitive to that person or the needs or whatever it is. Or maybe in your conversation, the Holy Spirit may show, I think you need to just say this to him or to her. It's going to help them. Instead of rebuffing or consumed in ourselves and what I've done this week or whatever it would be. You know? Psychologists today, you see these courses you can go on. How to be a great conversationalist. How to start up, how to talk well in a party or at a dinner party or whatever it is. Do you know you can go on courses for that? And there are certain key words, key things that you bring out, you start, so that you can keep the conversation going, whatever it is. Well, if the world is doing that sort of thing, how much more the Holy Spirit with us, ministering one to another? Everything is for the glory of God. The person you must be most critical of is yourself. It's getting that beam out of our own eye. And boy, can it be a big thing until God opens our eyes to see it. You see, one of the ways one can be delivered from this mindset, I believe, as God is showing me, are you battling in the mind? Do you still need deliverance? Are you still bound? Held up, whatever. You've sought God, you've been through deliverance, you've tried so many times, whatever it is. Here's a key to this. I think one of the ways you'll start deliverance in motion is when you desire to serve. It is the greatest deliverance. Let's end with something we know so well. In John 13... here's what Jesus left before he was put to the cross. John 13 verses 1 to 17. 1 to 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Isn't that an important verse? We so often overlook that one, don't we? It says, Jesus, knowing. He knew it. That the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God. He knew that. Nothing could take that away, and that's why he could go to the cross and fulfill what he did. Rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing to you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter is still not getting it. He said, you don't know now, but you will. If he had listened to that, he'd have stopped. You see, this gives us hope, doesn't it? Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head and everything. I've washed the whole lot of me, you know. He's a character, isn't he? Wonderful. I really do look forward to meeting him in glory. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but to be completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Now, again, Peter didn't understand that. But what Jesus has said there, you're mine, you're clean, and that is the blood shed from the foundation of the world speaking out there. For he knew who would betray him. And Peter did. He left. He forsook. He betrayed. But he'd already spoken it there. You see? So then he had washed. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, and he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor he who is sent greater than the one who sent me. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It means, if you know this to serve, you are blessed. And that means it is a blessing of wholeness in mind, body, spirit. It means a fruitful blessing. It means blessings flow. And we all love blessings. And if you don't, then I question whether you're saved. So this is what he's saying. If you want these breakthroughs in your life, these deliverances that you have been pounding and seeking God for years, this may well be the key to start to serve. Whatever you feel, whatever the situation, however it's been thrown back in your face, or how many times you need to forgive that person, simply serve. Oh, but Lord, I've done it all before. I know, it's mundane, it's shallow. But that is what's preserving and keeping you. Isn't it wonderful when we hear God's side of the argument? When we hear what God says about a thing, it just, everything else just dissolves, doesn't it? I love it when God speaks and he has a way of silencing us. That we have nothing else to say because he has said it. And it's often so simple. And it is the simple things that we so often miss out. Because we don't want those shallow, mundane things. I'm too important for that. I've been predestined from the foundation of the world with depth. And to be in those deep, deep oceans. Well, God will let you go in those deep oceans for a while, but I'm going to tell you something, you'll only be able to take them for a while. I'm told that if they go down, these divers, whatever it is, they go down to a certain depth, they can only actually stay down there for a certain time. And they can't just rush them up quickly, they have to come up very, very slowly, all because of pressure and so forth. Well, you put that over to the spiritual. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. If it means you've stirred somebody's tea because they like sugar in it, you've done it for the glory of God. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord. We, all of us, needed so much to hear this today. And I'm sure I can echo that with those who come online as well. We so miss it, Lord. We so miss because We're wanting things our way, how we want it, how we think. But Lord, the wonderful thing is that you are bringing all of us to the end of ourselves. That is in our thinking, what we think it should be, or whatever. You have given us the mind of Christ, and we're beginning to experience it. As we no longer are listening to the devil and his lies and what he says. Lord, I thank you, Father, we're all of us saying we've had enough. For you are the way, the truth and the life. And Lord, we thank you for your word that brings deliverance, healing, salvation to the whole man. Lord, we thank you today for this meeting. We thank you for our dear, this dear family who has opened their home up,
thank
that we can come here to fellowship.
Praise you, Jesus.
I thank you, Father, for each one of us, Lord, that we are a gift set into this body to function. None of us are here by mistake or coincidence. It is all for a reason. And Lord, I pray that we would all learn to serve one another in a meek heart and spirit. Lord, this body is not about what I can get out of it, what I take from it. It's what I put into it as I lay my life open through the work of the cross. I'm here. Use me in whatever capacity you see fit. That should be every desire and heart with each of us, Lord. And I thank you for this now, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.